This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. After Senator Mitch McConnell appeared to freeze up at a press conference in Covington last month, social media sites were flooded with calls for him to retire and questions about his ability to lead Senate Republicans. But the senator is part of a growing number of older workers staying on the job. The Bureau of Labor Statistics expects the number of workers who are 75 or older to increase 78% between 2022 and 2023, and there are many reasons behind that trend. Joining me now to discuss why many Americans are choosing to work longer and the stigma older adults can face in the workplace are Scripps Gerontology Center research scholar Bob Applebaum. Welcome, Bob.
Thank you.
Wells Fargo Advisors Senior Vice President and Investment Officer Chris DeSimeo. Thanks for being here, Chris.
Oh, thank you.
And WVXU Senior Political Analyst Howard Wilkinson. Welcome back, Howard.
Thank you, Lucy.
Miami University, the home of Scripps Gerontology Center, is a financial supporter of Cincinnati Public Radio. Are you working into your 70s or do you have loved ones who are? Give us a call at 513-419-7100 or email talk at wvxu.org. Howard, I mentioned what happened with Senator McConnell just last month. You wrote a column after the senator's most recent episode. Talk with us first about the reaction to what he experienced and what everybody saw happen to him, and then your take on what experienced political leaders like Senator McConnell bring to their work.
Well, as I said in the column, age hits different people in different ways. And Bob can speak more directly to this, but, he's 81 years old. He had a concussion back in March. All I can judge by is the Capitol physician who says that, you know, the episodes were tied to the recovery from the concussion. Okay, well, that's, you know, I'm not a doctor, so I really can't argue with that. I look at different people, though. Paul McCartney, the former Beatle, the musician, he is the same age as Mitch McConnell. He seems to be in very good health, and he's embarked on a worldwide concert tour right now at the age of 81 that's going to take him basically around the world and well into 2024. So, you know, as I say, it hits different people different ways.
Sure, that certainly was not how a lot of the world reacted, though. Did you think it was especially mean the way people reacted to Senator McConnell, Howard?
Well, there's a lot of meanness out there, yes. But, I think there was also a lot of sympathy and concern. You don't want people to, have to leave office or leave their jobs because they're incapable. But, it's going to happen. Now, he's not by any means the oldest person in the Senate or in the Congress. He's ranks 14th in the Congress. He ranks fourth in the Senate. There are older people than him who seem to be functioning pretty well.
Bob, let's talk with you about that. We were talking a little bit before we started the show about this kind of age is only a number idea. What is your perspective on that as a gerontology expert?
Sure. So one of the things that we say in gerontology is that age is so variable that you cannot use age as the indicator of how somebody is going to be able to perform. The fact is that you have people in their 90s or 80s who are doing great, and you have people in their 60s and 50s who have difficulty. So it's important to understand the variation in age and recognize that age is not the way to make a decision about whether somebody is qualified or not. In the case of Mitch McConnell, you know, you have health issues, and health and health problems are not aging and aging problems, and that's the biggest thing to take away. And I think that it's easy to sort of equate bad health with aging, but the fact is that if you look at the data, there are people in their 90s, in fact, many people in their 90s that continue to have good health, and people in their 60s that don't. And so what we have to focus on is the fact that, yes, the older you get, the more opportunity you have for a health problem. But the fact is that even in age 80s and 90s, most people don't have those problems.
Well, and Bob, we talked about the number of workers age 75 and older, how much they're projected to grow. And another statistic I saw, almost half of working baby boomers remain or expect to remain in the labor force past 70. That's according to a recent survey by the Transamerica Center for Retirement Studies. Let's talk about some strengths here for a minute. What skills and assets do these older workers bring to the workplace?
You know, so what we know is that experience and wisdom from the job are really quite important. And so, you know, for many of us, we want to have meaning in our life. And yes, being retired can be great and people can volunteer and do other things, but also people want other kinds of experiences. And so what we're seeing is a growing interest in being able to at least work, and it may be part-time or it may be doing some things differently. And a number of companies are now recognizing that. Big story a few years ago about BMW, who were, you know, were worried about losing all of their workers on the assembly line. And so they changed the way the work was done, allowing people maybe to sit down instead of stand. And they got tremendous benefits from that. So I think we're going to continue to see particularly with this shortage of workers, an effort to try and engage older workers in being involved in the workplace.
Chris, what are some of the financial reasons that people stay on the job as they get older? I mean, there are lots of Americans who don't have enough saved to retire, right?
Unfortunately, that's true. According to the Federal Reserve study from a few years ago, families headed by people 60 to 65 years old with a household income between $71,000 and $126,000, the average retirement plan assets were $150,000. And even for people with higher incomes, the balance was around $535,000. And that is simply not enough unless you have some of the sort of pension income, which is what puts a lot of pressure on Social Security and makes people nervous about that. So it's important, if you want to take care of yourself, to start saving early. Save until it hurts. Do as much as you can. Don't try to outsmart the market. And as Bob was pointing out, listen to some people who have experience either investing money or who are already retired. Bob's point about older people bringing wisdom to the job, you know, in my career, I've been helped by a lot of people who went down that road before. And so when the crash of 87 happened, they were instantly thinking of when JFK was shot or whatever it was, they'd been there before. So having someone who's gone down that path ahead, it's a big help.
Yeah, you don't have to reinvent the wheel every time.
That's right.
Bob, what about employment discrimination? I mean, some older workers are pushed out of their jobs in their 50s or 60s, which are peak earning years for many people. The Equal Employment Opportunity Commission says that often goes underreported. How big an issue is that for workers as we begin to age or get older?
You know, it's a big issue. And just like racial discrimination, sometimes it's very hard to know that you've been discriminated against. There are, to actually win a case, you have to be pretty blatantly discriminated against. And so, but we know it. It happens every day. It happens to us in many, many settings. And I think some of that is, you know, we live in a youth culture where there's an emphasis on young and vibrancy. But the fact is that it happens, and ageism is there every day, whether it's the birthday card or anything that you see in society. So I think some of it is being able to address those issues directly. Some of it is to, you know, we are changing. You know, we're an aging society. You know, in 1800, the median age in this country was 16. Today, the median age is about 35. And when all of us boomers reach full maturity, we're talking about a median age of somewhere around 46 or 47. So we're going to have a lot of people. And with those changes come changes in attitude.
I want to remind our listeners, we're talking about the reasons Americans are choosing to work longer and the stigma older adults can face in the workplace. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100 or emailing talk@wvxu.org. Chris, what kind of impact does it have on retirement funds when someone loses a job in their 50s or 60s? That can be a really important hit, can't it?
It can.
And that's why it's important if you, what we have seen at least, is that when someone has, if someone loses their job, having some savings helps tide you over until you find something else. Because there are a few things worse than sitting around watching TV all day long. That gets, even if you like what you're watching, it's not good for your health, probably. Yeah. Unless you're watching the Reds take 2 out of 3 from the Mets. But the point is that people who are working and are around people, there's that the lift that you get from just the human interaction is critically important. And the better you feel about yourself, that you're not living, you know, that you're not invading your retirement savings, or that you're not, you know, living because someone's helping you out because you have no way to support yourself. The more you can do that, the better you feel about yourself, the healthier you'll be. And so it can be devastating to lose your job. But we've seen that people who, you know, sometimes they just pack it up, walk away from a bad situation, and rely on their skills to become self-employed. I've seen this personally. And they're some of the best stories in our industry are people who said, okay, enough with the big company, I'm going to do this myself, and bang, they're successful.
Yeah,
they're happy.
They have all that expertise. We do have a caller on the line. Donna, thanks so much for calling. What is your question or comment?
Hi, everyone. So I will be 68 years old in February. I just went on Medicare, and I'll take my Social Security at 68. I work a full-time and a part-time job. I enjoy working. I'm a licensed mental health therapist in the state of Ohio. I work for a company that contracts with schools and long-term care facilities. I have 2 nursing homes that I do mental health therapy in. I counsel them about, you know, the adjustment going to a nursing home. And I indicate to them that we suffer the consequences of what we do and what we don't do to our bodies. And so I enjoy working. I don't have a lot of hobbies. And I am going to go part-time eventually. I'm not sure when.
Well, that's great. And Donna, the work you're doing is certainly much needed. So goodness, we all appreciate that. Bob, is that something you hear from a lot of people? Hey, I like to work. I'm good at it. I'm going to keep chugging away.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, there's 2 reasons why people continue to work. Chris has alluded to that. One is because they have to work financially, and the other one is because they want to be involved. And I think, again, the emphasis that we say have in gerontology is variability. And so if you look at the older population, what you see is that about half of the workers today do not have private pensions. So we have a big chunk of folks who are dependent. And if you look at today's older population, about 40% of those folks are primarily relying on Social Security. So those folks do have to be in the workplace as long as they can, as long as their health takes it, because they just don't have. The average Social Security benefit last year was about $1,550, so not a lot.
Yeah.
And so some of it is you have to work just because you need to financially, and then it's the, you know, as this caller said, people who want to be engaged and want to have meaning in their life, and I think that's really important as well. And yeah. And so we'd like to do things and feel like we're making a contribution.
Right. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're continuing our conversation about the reasons Americans are choosing to work longer and the stigma older adults can face in the workplace. My guests are Scripps Gerontology Center research scholar Bob Applebaum, Wells Fargo Advisors Senior Vice President and Investment Officer Chris DeSimio, and WVXU Senior Political Analyst Howard Wilkinson. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100 or by emailing talk@wvxu.org. Hey, Bob, thank you so much for calling. What is your question or comment?
Yeah, hi. I retired early to care for my wife who was suffering from Alzheimer's. Hmm. And during the pandemic, it was possible to work remotely. I work in IT, so, you know, there's a lot of demand for IT skills out there. One of the things that I've run across recently is that companies, and there's a big company in Cincinnati using this, is using AI to interview people, basically record them and then assess them based on, you know, the way they appear during the AI interview. Well, they'll rank you, and one of the things about AI that people are starting to understand here is that it's biased towards whatever it's trained on, and typically that's younger workers. So what I found, even with my extensive experience, that AI is going to rank me lower because I'm not as young as the typical prospective employee.
Huh.
So I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, very interesting. Thank you, Bob. Bob, what about that? Have you seen a lot of research about AI discriminating against older workers?
I have not. What I have seen is a big increase in AI use in the healthcare area, managed care companies, other kinds of health management groups trying to use AI to either make referrals or to communicate with customers. And, you know, in healthcare in general, we've seen a tremendous increase in managed care for older people. The Medicare Advantage option is now includes about 50% of the older population. And most of those are for-profit companies trying to lower labor costs and communicate. And we have seen and heard a lot of concern about how AI is being used in that sector. Mm.
Thanks for your call, Bob. Really interesting point. Howard, you wrote in your column that you'll be 71 in a few months. What keeps you wanting to work here at WVXU?
Well, Lucy, I mean, I enjoy it. I enjoy the work. I enjoy writing about politics. And to the point of experience, I started writing politics in the same month in 1974 that Nixon resigned. So I've got some background, and I can help put things in perspective for people. You know, that's the one thing that is lacking from a lot of reporting these days is that sense of perspective. And I enjoy doing it. I don't have to do it. I'll keep doing it as long as, you know, Cincinnati Public Radio keeps offering me a contract every year. So I'll do it as long as they want that.
Well, but, I'm sure glad they do.
Well, thanks. But no, I mean, it is, as Bob said, and Chris referred to it, it does give you a sense of purpose. And no, you can't sit around watching TV all day. And it's there's just too many hours in the day. And I want to be productive, and I think I am.
Yeah. Chris, what's your experience along these lines? And what do you hear from clients who choose to keep working past the time when they could retire? These are people who have done the right thing. They've got their nest egg and they could retire, but they just want to keep working.
I think they echo Howard in that they love it. Sometimes it's because they're self-employed and they happen to be very good at what they do. And they also happen to be very rare at what they do. So if you have experience repairing furniture, as an example, and there just aren't that many people who know how to do it. And so if you're good at it, and I've had people who are good at that kind of thing as clients, and they say, well, I want to retire. I don't need the money. Do I need the money? No, you don't need the money. Can I retire? Yes, you can retire. But how do I get out of my job? Well, just raise your prices.
Yeah.
Just keep charging people more. And then, and the next time we speak, well, do you charge people more? Yeah. Have you anyone left? No. And so because finding someone who is that skilled, as opposed to, you know, the sawdust with plastic furniture that you
right.
screw together,
that particle board
that's
stuff.
Not meant to be moved very often. Finding
right.
someone who can do something like that is so rare that these people, it's a good feeling to have. And trying to find someone to take over is a challenge. But as Bob and Howard said, having that sense of purpose, there is a study I just read it today. It was the same article referred to it in Barron's that you referred to early. People who have purpose, a sense of purpose, actually maintain their physical ability to grip things longer so they can keep a grip mm-hmm. longer. That these are measurable outcomes of having a sense of purpose and feeling like you're doing something important.
Yeah. Bob, as employers notice that valued employees are staying on the job longer, which is, you know, you mentioned BMW. A lot of employers would like to see that continue. What accommodations should they be thinking about, should employers be thinking about when it comes to this older workforce?
Yeah, that's a great question. Certainly, flexibility in terms of full-time versus part-time is one biggie. A lot of us at a certain age decide that we don't want to be on the grind 40 or 50 hours a week, but maybe we're happy to do 20 hours. So that's certainly one important thing. Also, flexibility in the physical environment. BMW, I mentioned, had really changed their assembly line to be able to have people be able to sit down or to rotate jobs so that you don't have that same job that you're doing every minute of the day. So there are those things. Also, variability in the type of work. So I think that there have been a number of studies and a number of companies that are really looking to think about what can we do to keep people in the workplace and keep them engaged. And I think you're going to see more and more of that. The numbers are clear in terms of the increase in the boomers. And there's no question in my mind that you will have continued employment by people in their 70s and 80s going forward.
Yeah. Back to the Barron story, the cover last week. There's an 85-year-old woman who works at the Lowe's. Oh, I shouldn't say that, I guess. She works at a big box store in North Carolina, and she's a greeter there. She works there from 10 in the morning till 3 in the afternoon. People love her. And if she's not there, they ask where she is. But standing up and doing that became difficult, so they gave her a backless stool to sit on, which didn't work.
No. Wouldn't work for me.
Didn't work. Right. And so that was replaced with a cushioned rocking chair. So that having those kind of accommodations on the part of employers for their employees is a big help.
Yeah. Howard, you told me earlier that you think there's a dichotomy at play about how some people talk about President Biden and his age. Talk to us about that.
Well, I think there's an obvious dichotomy. I mean, you know, if you listen to Republicans in Congress, you listen to the MAGA crowd, it used to be the line was, well, he's a doddering old fool. He's old. He can't function. Now the line seems to be, well, he's a criminal mastermind who is running this massive operation for the Biden crime family. My question is, okay, which is it? Make up your minds. The fact is, he's neither one of those things. And it just aggravates me when I hear them play this game with the age of someone like Joe Biden.
That's not the variability in age that you were talking about earlier. You can't be both those two radically different things.
You can't. It's just not, doesn't work.
Yeah. Howard, we referred to this a little bit earlier, but social media can be such an ugly place for all kinds of discriminatory statements. Do you think ageism is seen as still kind of acceptable on some of these social media sites? Or well, I guess, is it less taboo than some other forms of discrimination? Tell us what you think about that.
Lucy, I mean, you're on social media all the time, too, and there is nothing taboo. And especially with the Mitch McConnell situation, I've seen some of the meanest things I've ever seen in 50 years of politics directed at Mitch McConnell because of the incidents where he froze up. And politics these days, unfortunately, is a very mean business.
Do you think it's meaner for people who are older, or it's just mean for everybody?
Well, I think it's mean for everybody, but when you have a situation like Mitch McConnell was in, where, you know, he was apparently having problems recovering from this concussion, and he's being used in memes and social media posts totally about his age and health, that he's old, too old, he's over the hill, whatever. I don't know. I don't know if he is or not, but I don't think it's because he's age 81.
Hmm. Yeah. Bob, what's your advice for older workers who want to stay on the job, but maybe they're worried about rocking the boat? How can older workers most effectively advocate for themselves and what they need to be successful. Chris was just talking about this lady working at a big box store who said, I can't be on my feet all day. And it sounds like she was valued and made that work. But what advice do you have for us as we get older and want to keep on working?
Well, that's a great question. I do think that certainly ageism that we've talked about and discrimination exists in the workplace. And I think for people, it's probably really important to be able to demonstrate their effectiveness on their work and to be able to communicate with employers about what they need to continue to do their job as best they can. And, you know, I think that at the end of the day, you know, the message today is it's not about age, it's about health. And if you're in poor health, you may not be able to do that particular job, but it's not about age.
Chris, and, you know, we've talked about how many, 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 many Americans don't have the savings they need for retirement. Social Security often just doesn't cut it in terms of giving people what they need to live. What's your best advice for people who feel like they're way behind and they're worried about their finances as they get older? I'm sure you're not going to say put it all on black.
No, yeah. No, red, actually.
Yeah, okay. Say red. There you go. No,
just find a way to save. If you work at an employer where you have an employer match for a savings program, such as a 401k, do not leave free money sitting on the table. Save until it hurts. You just have to do it. If you have to work a second job sometimes, so be it. But do not turn down free money. That's usually the best way to dig yourself out of any financial hole.
Okay. Well, I've been talking with Scripps Gerontology Center research scholar Bob Applebaum, Wells Fargo Advisors Senior Vice President and Investment Officer Chris DeSimio, who is also a Cincinnati Public Radio board member, and WVXU Senior Political Analyst Howard Wilkinson. Thank you all so much for your time today.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lucy.
Up next, we'll discuss what federal regulations around artificial intelligence could look like. This is Cincinnati Edition.